The bottom line.
Here we go. Welcome to the bottom line. So excited for this episode. Didn't even know it was going to happen. This special person just zipped into town to be a part of our documentary. Special person being my sister. Yeah. You've heard me talk about her a lot. Well, she's here. Ilonka, welcome.
Hello, hello. I'm very excited. This is wonderful. This is so fancy. Nice studio. Nice people. Great lunch.
Well, your whole life is in studios.
I like it.
Yeah, it's singing.
Yes, yeah. I love it. Ilonka, I love your microphones.
She walked in first thing. She gets her husband, Bill, who's a phenomenal music producer in Nashville, Tennessee, has produced just everybody. I mean, everybody. She walks in and starts putting her phone on FaceTime, showing Bill the gear. I'm like, yeah, okay, we need to get you some vintage gear. I'm like, what? I got good gear.
Like, we need a Neumann U47. Yeah.
I got good gear.
Yes, you got great gear. You do.
You're a gearhead.
Top of the line. Yes, I love
you were
gear.
Always a gearhead.
I like to take microphones and stack them up next to each other and then shoot it out blind and then see which one sounds better when you sing and then see which one, you know, is awesome and which
one
is rich.
No, but you guys build microphones.
I don't build them. No,
Bill
loves doing that, and he loves taking microphones who need a little bit of TLC, a little bit of love, and you know, open them up and... You know, and see what he can do with them. Yeah, he's one of the very rare engineers that has, still has a Sheffield mic, which it kind of looks like a science experiment if you ever saw it.
I love that thing.
But
it looks like a science experiment.
There's only so many that they made in the United States, and it's a little bit of a persnickety microphone, but if you can get it to work and you can get the thunderstorm sound out of it, boy, it sounds fantastic on vocals.
Yeah, it's amazing. Uh-huh. Yeah, I've had some... I don't know. We could make this a music show. This is going to be a show about everything because you live in Nashville. This is Dallas. Do you remember? I'll just get into. I don't know what we're going to title this show, by the way, because it's the smorgasbord Yaku family show with Ilonka, because our world's sort of large. But it's going to be fascinating. If you stay, I'm telling you, you're going to learn a lot. But do you remember you were recording an album and Bill booked Vinnie Caliuta?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know who Vinnie Caliuta is, can you pull up Rebecca Vinnie, V-I-N-N-I-E, and then just take your best shot at spelling Caliuta, C-A-L-L-U-I. Just put drummer. One of the greatest drummers in history. Did he play on the Moby Dick tour?
I'm not sure.
He played for Madonna. He was Madonna's drummer.
Well,
and Moby Dick tour, a bunch of stuff, right?
Sting. I mean, I know he did some Sting. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of music videos with Vinny. Sting,
there he is.
Beck.
Vinny. He looks like a mad scientist.
And he...
Can you pull up any of these videos?
He also did stuff
with Celine Dion. Yeah, find something where he's like...
He's absolutely incredible.
On YouTube or something. Yeah. Drums. Yeah, just check this out. Go full screen.
I'll tell you what, though... there he is. He is the only drummer. Let me tell you something. He is the only drummer to where you can hear almost every single piece of his drums going. And you will look over and he's adjusting his glasses on his nose. He looks
this
like...
This guy is so economical. His elbows are in if you watch him. This guy is on another level, man. He's a scientist. He's a mad scientist on the drums. But he's... What impressed me was his cymbal work.
He
music lovers out there.
Feel,
this guy could fill. Thank you, Rebecca. He could fill with cymbals. So here's the story, though. You're tracking in Nashville.
Do you remember where?
At Emerald.
We were at Quad.
Oh, it was at Quad.
Quad was still there. Yeah.
Quad was still there. That's right.
Yeah.
This
Bill,
is Music Row, and so Bill brings him in, and I get to sit in the session.
You know, Bill was one of the first people to ever bring Vinnie Caliuta and another drummer. Gosh, I can't remember his name at the moment. But one of the first ones to bring them in to the Nashville area to come and do
these guys
work.
Are legends.
And it was a pop record, you know, so Vinny was kind of very fitting for that. And in true fashion style of a drummer, he was fashionably late.
Very late. and his kit was massive.
Oh, Kenny Aronoff is the other drummer.
Kenny Aronoff, that's right. Kenny, His kit was massive. We're musos. We grew up in Sri Lanka in music industry. I used to carry this girl's keyboard. I did her lighting. Yeah. I did more dive bar shows in Nashville, Tennessee, and lighting and smoke machines.
I definitely was the annoying young sister that my mom said, you have to go with
her. I did good lighting setups.
Yes, you did.
Bjorn helped. Anyway, so I'm sitting in this kit with Vinny, and he's real awkward. He's peculiar.
Yeah.
He's eccentric.
He's eccentric.
And they actually put a chair in the kit. I'm sitting in the kit with him, and I'm watching
this. And it's surround. It's
all around him. Completely all
around him. It's amazing.
And I'm watching this guy play. And, of course, Nashville musicians are unbelievable, the number system. I mean, the studio musicians.
Yeah, we had Blair Masters on that session, and we had
Vinny.
We had Vinny on that session, and we also had the guitar player from Mr. Mister, Steve Farrell on that.
Steve Farrell was on it, yeah.
And it was incredible.
It was unreal. And so we're charting. They're charting Ilonka's songs. And Vinny is super, super late. Super late. He walks in.
Walks in with great stories, though.
Oh, the stories are incredible. But he walks in. And, of course, in Nashville, all you Nashville musos, you're amazing. They have a number system in Nashville. So they chart music by a number because they can go faster. And they are fast. They chart for, I kid you not, he maybe charged for 10 minutes.
No, they listened one time through the song.
He listened one time, and then he charts.
They make a head chart, and then they go in, and they nail it.
And they nail it.
It's incredible to watch
him
work.
He goes,
and he's like a paint artist when he plays.
Yeah, he listens to the song, Ilonka's song, one time. Never heard it before in his life. Listens to it one time. He charts it. I'm with him. I sit down, and Bill is, of course, producing, and he goes, okay, let's give it a pass. And Vinny is like, here? And Bill's like, yeah, that's a phenomenal take. And Vinny goes, okay, but we'll do a couple more. But I mean, they just nail it. The lead guitar player was equally. It was just an incredible experience. Yeah, yeah. I mentioned that just because we got so many cool music memories with you.
Mm-hmm. Big difference though between studio musicians and then road
live.
Live, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're Garth Brooks, and then you take all the studio musicians like Blair, who's now playing with Garth, takes them on the road with him, but.
But that's Book of Bucks, though. It's a whole different... Because the studio musicians go home at night and they want to be with their families.
Right.
They're not typically on tour.
The level of what they do, it's so different
being
a studio musician than being a live musician. And we respect all of them, of course, but yeah, they're stupid good.
Oh.
They're just so good.
No disrespect to New York or LA, but I don't think there's better. I don't think there's better studio musicians than
Nashville has.
It's
cream of the, cream
well
of
it's like any other sport, right? When I played professional football, it doesn't look the same on the stands. And I've done this with people, honestly. I've taken people from professional rugby, I've taken people from the stands, and then you put them on the sideline and they go, whoa, the game just sped up like insane,
right?
And then you go from a sideline onto the field and you go, well, no, this is a whole nother universe.
Right, it is, yeah.
It just looks different. And when that's why I said I sat in the kit. I wasn't even watching. Bill allowed me to sit with this kit was just so big.
Right.
I mean, I could have touched the snare. And it's just unbelievable.
Right.
This guy's feet, I just couldn't. I mean, it's just another level. So I mentioned that just because there's a lot of history with us here. We were raised differently.
We were.
All the South Africans that are listening would go, yeah, thank you. Talk about how we were raised. We were raised differently.
Very different culture than how you and I are raising our kids.
Yeah. I'm trying my best.
To bring
and I want
to
have this episode being an episode of just information about our family, but also for families raising kids. I try to blend. I don't know. I'll ask you what you're doing. I mean, I'm trying to blend how we were raised with how we're raising our kids in America. I'm not raising my kids like American families raise their kids at all. Okay. My kids' friends' parents are saying, I mean, this is different.
Yes.
And I like that. But I'm also not raising our kids the way we were raised because I think in America, they'd call the cops.
Right. It's different culture.
Because, I mean, I was raised with corporal punishment.
Right.
We talked at lunch about it. I mean,
yes.
To the point where I bled in school and it was normal. Actually,
right.
We asked for it.
Yeah, if my nails were too long during inspection.
Yes.
They didn't cut your nails. You get hit on that.
Yeah,
the knuckles.
They whacked you.
Yes.
Made you stand on your knees every Monday morning.
Measure
in uniform.
Your skirt. In your uniform.
Measure your skirt, four fingers.
Yep. It's
and your
too
uniform.
Short.
They caned me because my hair was too short.
Yep. I got sent to the principal, almost expelled because I colored my hair once.
And so I know America, you're listening to this, oh my goodness, what a tyrannical. No, no. Just a little bit of discipline. I think America needs discipline, Ilonka.
But let's go back for a second. So South Africa being under the Union Jack first, right? We adopted a lot of the British culture. One of the things that we still have in South Africa is Parliament, right? That's still a very British tradition. Another thing is we have an idea that we, like the British, that we maintain. So whether you go to a funeral or you go to a wedding or if you're going to go to the grocery store, you are expected to maintain your appearance to be appropriate for the moment.
That's right. You can take a South African anywhere in the world.
Right.
And they're going to dress the occasion.
Yes, we're not going to
behave
have those
the occasion. Yeah.
Kind of Walmart moments that people joke about or post about on Facebook, you know, with your pantsuit title, things like that. You dress appropriately and we call that maintaining. And we, I was
But it's also in a way a little bit of a...
It's respect
it's
to yourself.
It's respect to yourself, but it can become... It can all anything can become an idol. Anything in excess can become an idol. Where it's more about that than behavior.
You can be too far removed from.
Yeah.
Like you can look so good at a funeral that it could look like you're not really grieving for the loss of your loved one, right? Because you've got to maintain.
Yeah, you can lose perspective.
Correct.
But at school, it was militant. I mean, good night.
But you know, to be honest with you, I don't look back at that discipline as a bad thing.
No, I loved it.
Because it honestly taught me to have respect for myself, to do self-check. Do I look appropriate to leave the house today? You know, are my nails clean? What do I look like? Do I look like a slob or do I look okay to go? So I think, and like, do you remember you could not enter a classroom if your shirt was untucked?
You also
couldn't walk in front of a girl.
You could not walk in front of a girl.
No.
Okay. American men to hear this. You couldn't walk in front of a girl. You couldn't enter in front of the classroom before her. I couldn't enter a classroom with my shirt untucked. And this is uniform now. Tie. Girls wore ties.
And we were in public school. This was not a private school.
No. This is every South African school. This is not Jeppy Boys. Right. Okay.
And again, it's a British model that South Africa has kept.
Yeah.
You know, which I think is a really good thing.
No, it's incredible. Listen, I have to take a quick break. Guys, Patriot Mobile, I'm telling you, they've gone to the border with us. They've literally helped us save lives from sex trafficking. They've helped the ranchers. But recently, they went to Austin with us. And they stepped up for the Texas children when the Texas State School Board was considering doing some radical things. Patriot Mobile showed up with 600 pages of documents fighting for your children. Check them out. Go to 972 Patriot, mention the bottom line. You're going to get phenomenal service and free activation, or just go online and put in the promo code the bottom line. Do it. Check them out. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone provider in the United States, and they do not donate to Planned Parenthood because all the others do. So come on, you can do this. Go to Patriot Mobile, give them a try. Glenn Story and his team are phenomenal guys, and equally important, they support our vets. Thank you for supporting the veterans. Okay, so Ilonka, yes, I'm looking at culture and I'm struggling with some things. You know, of course, with the sex trafficking, fighting sex trafficking. And I think so many people are watching this go, oh, Yaku's sister's on. And this is not that moment. Watch the documentary that's going to come out, the documentary Sex Nation. And you can hear about Ilonka's testimony because there's so much more about this woman than just being a survivor from sex trafficking. There's music and knowledge and just life experience. Incredible. So I'm looking at America and I go, there's no consequence. They can steal $930 from a Walgreens and the police can't arrest them. The girl at Best Buy that tackles a guy who's stealing a flat screen TV loses her job.
Right.
A friend of ours who's reporting a pedophile in the Dallas Independent School District loses his job. But the pedophile
For doing the right thing.
But the pedophile keeps teaching.
Right.
In California, we're lowering the sentencing for sodomy. We're not having offender registry. It's insane.
It's completely insane. And, you know, for me, it comes back to the earlier signs of a godless nation. Because if you lose your moral compass to that degree, you are that far removed from how God wants us to be in this country. And it's not very hard. Jesus loved the poor. He didn't storm into a Walmart and steal and destroy. Never. He was firm. He was maybe aggressive sometimes in his speaking and his teaching.
But that was normally with the Sanhedrin, with the leadership, right. with but the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
God has given us a very clear, simple roadmap. Ten Commandments are very simple to follow. We do not steal. That is one of the commandments. If you just take it at its basic form and you follow it, it's not hard to follow. And that really is a roadmap for life.
But it requires accountability. It requires self-awareness.
But our leadership here in Yaku has lost their moral compass. So how 100%. Can we? So how can we? It's almost like looking at a leader who has a disability. We are looking at leaders and saying, we want you to be these great leaders with a moral compass that says wrong is wrong and right is right.
But they don't know God.
But they have a disability where they don't even know what's right or wrong. So you have the blind leading the blind. Instead of saying, hold on a second, time out. Maybe we need to elect stronger, more morally centered leaders.
Yeah, 100%.
For each state. And then
everywhere.
Come down on these crimes that are happening and put things in their right order again.
Well, it's not just about, listen, we want to prosecute criminals. No, we want to build a young culture that does not want to commit crimes, that wants to honor God, that wants to help the poor, feed the naked. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, help the widow and the orphan.
We can't have lawlessness.
It's impossible.
It's never. Tell me, which country, generation, century has lawlessness ever worked in?
It hasn't. It's a failed model.
You can't thrive. Yeah.
So I can therefore classify our leadership as insane, because doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity.
Correct.
When you have so many models that says, "Listen, man, it doesn't work," and you do it, then. You know, you're the fool. I'm just telling you, I heard something yesterday. I want to say something, and I just want to see your face. I told you at lunch, but I just want to see it again. A woman who's an elected official, we'll just leave it at that because I can't even get further than that. An African-American woman yesterday asked a question, okay? She made a statement. She challenged somebody in a public forum and said, okay. Name one other country in history where children were raped and enslaved and murdered other than the United States of America. And it was only black kids. And I'm pausing because the guy she's talking to is a Hispanic guy. And I'm going, okay, dude, come on. This is teed up. Are you kidding me? Name one other nation? And he didn't know what to say, and he was in the public, and I understand he was under pressure. But good gracious.
Tell me he named something.
No, he didn't. He didn't. He said, I can't think of anything right now, and it kind of almost, to the audience, made her point have validation. And I was like, wait a minute, this started with Moses that had to be put in a basket because he was going to be killed because all the firstborn boys were being slaughtered.
They were hunting for Jesus.
Yes. So Moses and then Jesus had Mary had to flee and then slaughtering the firstborns under
Passover.
God's plague. It's a place in Israel. If you go to Israel, the locals will tell you, non-believers, if you tell an Israeli go to hell, that it's not an offense. It's an actual place. Not a hell, eternal hell, but it's an actual place not far from the Garden of Gethsemane. There was a literal, it is today, a literal physical place that they called hell. They actually believe it's a portal to hell, okay? Where children were sacrificed, okay?
That's sickening.
To Moloch, they were sacrificed, killed, the gnashing of teeth, right? And this woman asks if there's ever been another nation where their children... I'm like, yes, slavery is horrific in America, but it's in perspective.
And this was only for black Americans, correct? That she was making the statement that only black Americans had lived under slavery.
Yes, okay. Only here in America.
Well, how about we start with all the American Indians in the U.S.?
So, no,
we talk about how those
funny enough, there
were
was
raped?
A chief in the room. There was a chief, a tribal chief in the room that testified at this hearing, right?
So we talk about how those women were raped, how those children were raped.
No, they don't want to.
Can we talk about the British coming over to the US and what they did? Or hang on.
Well, first, where did slaves come from? From Africa.
Right.
So what about African kids?
What about South Africa?
Oh.
What about Nairobi?
South Sudan right now, they're literally deliming children. Now, US is not talking about it. In a religious war, Muslim against Christian. Right. I mean, it's racial, it's genocide in Africa. And that's black on black, by the way, right. Okay? So it's those kind of statements like yesterday. Or let me tell you another statement.
Just ignorance, yeah.
Ignorance by choice because she's a victim and she wants to be a victim. And her identity is wrapped up. Slavery is horrific.
But that's extremely offensive, because I can show you pictures today of children under five who are tied on top of buildings in Bangladesh, India,
yes,
because they're sex slaves.
Yes.
No, but so they don't count.
They don't count. They don't count.
Because they're not black Americans?
Yes. They don't
count. And they don't live in America?
Yeah. Okay. They don't count. They don't count. Okay?
That's extremely offensive.
Any of the children that's being sold as sex slaves today from the Balkans, mm-hmm, from Ukraine, into Cape Town, South Africa, right, 200 or so of them just rescued, they don't count. It is a sickness.
It's a very, very ignorant statement.
At the same meeting, one of her colleagues made the statement, literally boldly, and I can play this for you, made the statement that said, there is no American exceptionalism because this land was stolen. And the whole room gasped. Okay? It's like, wait, what?
If you've had one history lesson.
No, but see, Ilanka, they know better. It's just like Ketanji Brown sitting at the Supreme Court, okay? She's not a dumb woman. She's a judge, for crying out loud. She's a judge, and her mother is in the room, okay? And she's asked, what is a woman? And Ketanji Brown, now Supreme Court Justice, says, well, I'm not a biologist. That is cockamamie nonsense, okay? You want to tell me when she was 13, she didn't know what a woman was, 16, 18, 20? You want to tell me she's never talked about being a woman? Of course she has. In the moment, this is how evil, this is the worst kind of evil. Right. When you know the truth and you choose darkness.
Right. Because you don't want to sacrifice your career for something, right?
Because you have sworn allegiance to another master.
Correct. Yeah,
that is the worst kind. Hey, someone that doesn't know. If you picked up some dude that's lived alone in a cave all by himself his whole life and he's never seen a woman, he asks, what's a woman? And he goes, I can understand.
Right.
But Ketanji Brown, a Supreme Court justice nominee, what is a woman? Well, what do you mean? All she's thinking is, what's LGBTQ going to say?
Correct.
If I say a woman is one with a woman.
Instead of saying what she knows. You know,
she knows what a woman is.
I have more respect. Here's an example. I would rather have an argument or a discussion, I would say, with an atheist who stands on what he believes,
yes,
than to have a discussion or an argument with a congregation member who got hurt in the church, who is now wishy-washy in the middle. I'd rather, so I have more respect for someone, even if I don't agree with them, to say what they mean.
Yeah.
And stand on it.
Yes.
To say, I absolutely believe this.
Be hot or cold.
Be hot or cold.
Yeah.
Don't be lukewarm in the
middle. No. This nation is living.
But what does God say about that?
He's going to spew it out.
He's going to spit it out. And this is why.
So he's going to spit out the United States of America.
So all the lukewarmness, it can't flourish.
Impossible.
You have to. We've seen this in the United Methodist Church. They are in the middle of a very big decision to either become progressive or stay middle to conservative. In my opinion, most of them are middle to conservative, but there's a group that wants them to split off. And it's not just questions about sexuality. It's questions about, is Jesus who he says he is?
Yeah, I know.
It's very deep. Is the Old Testament real? That's the enemy. Is the Old Testament real? All those underlying questions that are being buried under the whole sexuality mantle.
I just got it. You know, sometimes you get those ideas. Look, we're real on the show. Bottom line, we don't pull any punches. And look, if you feel like the content's too heavy for your children, send them to bed. Do something. But we're not going to joke here. I'm not. There's African blood and Jewish blood in this. We're not going to play games here. A song just came to mind. The song "I Smell Sex and Candy." You know the song.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. America is falling for candy, sex being candy. It's falling for, it's all about sexual preference and it's all about your sexual identity. Correct. Meanwhile, it's not about that at all. Satan is busy working, eroding the foundation, which is biblical truth, mm-hmm. in the church. Yeah. They're now starting to ask questions, is the Bible real?
Right.
In the church. Is it the whole Bible? Or was Jesus really, wasn't he just a prophet? But it's all masked. So all you need to focus on is sex. Just sex. Right? And it's like this massive, watch our documentary. Do not miss it. Ilanka's in it. Don't miss that. But it's like sex. And I say sex is a weapon. And I say it's the most destructive weapon of them all because we're all sexual beings.
Right.
And once you mess with someone sexually, you got them all messed up. And then you can do anything. You can rob them blind. Mm-hmm. You can steal their faith.
Right.
And they will, under the guise of don't offend the LB alphabet, okay? LBGTQ alphabet, 70 plus, exclamation right. minus, whatever, right?
Right?
Just don't offend them. So you can't preach Jesus. Or, right. or let's
you
not even go
preach Jesus in a different way. That
let's not even go Jesus. Correct. Let's right. just say, no, we're going to say, sir and ma'am, man and woman. Mm-hmm. And no, thank you, Jordan Peterson. I'm not going to learn 979,000 pronouns.
Right.
Okay, because I don't know who you are today. Today you're a dolphin. Tomorrow you may be Wally the Crocodile.
You know what's so sad to me about, I had a conversation once with a man who had changed his name 27 times.
You had a conversation with this guy?
Yeah.
Recently?
This was maybe a year ago.
Okay.
He changed his name 27 times.
How sad is that?
Born a boy without a father.
Yep.
Lost direction in life. Did not belong. Desperately seeking to belong somewhere. One gay person in his school pulled him into the LGBTQ.
Gave him attention and affection and time.
Yeah, same as a gang. Gave him
no different than a gang.
Time, you belong here. Now, him wanting to belong somewhere, there's nothing wrong with that. God made us to belong.
We all want to belong.
We are relational beings. We want to belong. And when that family piece is missing, we search and we look. However, the enemy has unfortunately used the LGBTQ crowd as a distraction to God's real beauty for us and our worth and our value.
That's right.
So this individual goes on, changes his name 27 times, different women's names, gets to the end of this.
Did he say why he was changing his name?
Picks a name, doesn't feel right, picks another name. How can you ever, if you are trying and searching to be something that you're not, it's never going to fit.
Never.
You're never going to feel fulfilled. We know that there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. And there's only one that can fill that. And that is Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God. I mean,
so that's 27 it. Times.
27 times changed his name and get to the 27th time, almost had sexual relations with 1,000 other men. 1,000.
1,000 partners.
Yeah. 1,000. Because you know,
like sex traffic victims. It's in the thousands. People don't realize that.
There is
by
very,
the way.
Very few long term relationships.
Yeah.
You know, that, yeah. So, and he found himself as lost as he felt when he was 13, 14 years old, when he first entered into the LGBT crowd and realized that he had spent almost 30 years trying to find himself in this world and never did. And he just surrendered one day and said, I don't know if God is real, but I'm going to go back to when I was born, my name, who
start
I was
over.
Born, and start over. And that guy today is a believer. He speaks out about his journey, about being a sex addict, all of these things. And his life has changed forever. Now, God took him on that journey and brought him back. I don't have anything against anyone who's searching because I was there too once. I searched as well.
Of course.
But I am not going to be the person to say, I'm going to help you down into the ditch.
No, exactly. If you search, great.
I'm not going to judge you
but
for
if
where
you're
halfway
you are, down,
but I'm not
yeah.
going to say, let me come. You come with me. I'm an official. I'm going to help you down to the ditch so you can like destroy your life.
Exactly.
Now that God is going to hold me accountable for.
And we call that enabling.
Correct.
And I had to learn that lesson.
It's the same with alcoholics.
Yeah, I had to learn that lesson hard, hard. I was enabling.
It doesn't matter if it is enabling with overspending, if it is with food addiction.
Not disciplining your children.
Doesn't matter what it is.
You're enabling them to become little hellions that's going to throw bricks through windows, steal from Walgreens, not show up on time at work, make promises they don't keep.
Home.
Seriously, and they're going to become horrifically terrible parents.
Right.
And you're eroding a culture. Mm-hmm. Elon, fellow South African. He's in a podcast. Sometimes he takes his podcast with some of these kids. I mean, he was on a pod. I don't know if it's the pot or something. It's something about the weed or something. But he took a podcast the other day with some of these rappers, right? But young rappers, not like Kanye or Jay-Z or these guys or Snoop. But these, like, it's a weird culture, okay? And I'm not disrespecting it, but this is weird. It's a weird dynamic, Elon Musk. And the kids, you know, they just like stupid questions. And they go, bro, have you ever been in a fight? Right? This is Elon now, super nerd, SpaceX. We're going to fly rockets and land rockets and I can't really talk to people. You know, he's kind of super intelligent. They go, have you ever been in a fight? And Elon goes, oh, yeah. And they just stunned. They go, wait, what? And he goes, and Elon says, you mean like a street fight? He goes, I've been in many street fights. Right? And they're just like, what? And he said, yes, I was raised in South Africa.
Right.
And I'm like, and there it is.
Yep.
You do not get raised in that country as a man and not experience life. The good, the bad, the ugly. And so Elon talks to them and he tells them how many times he got beat up, okay, in gang fights, okay? And, you know, at school, Barney means fight. And we show up and it's two guys and you beat the living daylight. Even the teachers watch.
And no one calls the police.
No one calls the police
as long as
it's clean and fair.
No one has a judgment against them.
No two-on-one.
No one's going to prison.
No two-on-one. And it lasts 90 seconds.
Right.
Two guys hit blood and they become buddies, right? And Elon explains this. And these California kids are just like,
what do you mean they become buddies?
Elon Musk in a fight? What did we talk about? And then Elon says this. He goes, and he's serious. He goes, yeah, it's a very violent place.
Yeah.
South Africa is a very violent place. Let me ask you this.
How many rugby matches did you play where at the end of the rugby match or close to the end of the rugby match, not only did the players, but all the fathers get on the field for a brawl? How many?
I don't know that America's ever seen this.
It's larger than five bars coming together.
No. This is like, I want people to
understand. Hundreds of people.
I want people, I don't know, we could probably pull it up. And it's not that I want to glorify this, but it's just a different culture. There's a Viking, I don't know, pioneer thing there, but it does something to men though. It produces a different kind of a guy. Yes, you're right. I mean, I'm on crutches, okay? I tore my ACL, MCL, PCL, LCL, all four ligaments. I was playing professional rugby. I was at the Bulls. Bjorn, our brother, was playing in the first team in high school.
I remember this very well.
They're playing Waterkloof High. It is war.
Yes.
It is full on.
Because the economy of South Africa is always set by how well the rugby does.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
And Waterkloof is this very, very wealthy private school. Hoogland is this middle to lower income bracket, just tough.
Tough crowd.
We'll play on concrete, man.
Right.
Okay? And they play, and two guys get in it. Okay?
Oh, with two.
I'm on the sideline. Okay, two players get into it. Now it's 10 on 10. One dad gets on the field, and it's a full on.
And you just see people stream over.
It's a full on 800-on-800 fight.
Between parents.
Moms, dads. I mean, it is just. And I'm on crutches.
It looks barbaric, right?
It looks
very barbaric.
It does. Now, that doesn't happen often.
But it does happen. At least once a year.
But it does happen.
It still happens.
Thinking about it, it's probably happened too many times that I've been involved with. I mean, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Remember,
you either got punched or you punched somebody.
Well,
or
dude, you got to throw, man. This stuff coming from this chairs, this Coca-Cola bottles. I mean, it's like you got to go. When it's time to go, it's like just you look for your jersey color and you swing. Anybody's as close to your jersey collar, and you swing. You just connect, head straight. No, but I mean, this is a different culture, but it all, and it's not pleased. Don't think it's just these barbarians. You know, these Jesus barbarians. No,
Australia,
but it comes,
South Africa, that is that.
But it comes from
this.
It comes from this, though. It's tribal. Mm-hmm. And the loyalty level, South Africans' loyalty level is, and again, I served rugby growing up as hard as I served God. I served two gods. I had to be released from that. I had to give that up because it's identity. It's a religion for people, but right. It's tribal. Look, at there's no difference than British soccer. You play Arsenal against West Ham, they're burning cars. They're setting cars on fire.
Right.
They walk out the stadium, they lose, cars are on fire.
It's very serious. It's like this is no joke.
I mean, this is no. This is no joke. This is their identity. Monday through Friday is wrapped up in how's the team gonna do. That's not healthy.
Yeah, I joke about the economy is set in South Africa by the rugby.
It
but
is.
It very much is.
No. Our country was falling apart. We were going to civil war. Sure, absolute shoe in civil war. Nelson Mandela is out of prison. I had to do my little, you know, crazy high school kids going to the military stunt. There's nuts stuff going on. And we win the 1995 World Cup. And in 90 minutes, in 90 minutes, we stop a war.
Right. Because of a rugby match.
Because of a rugby game. And because a black president surprised everybody and walked out on the field with the white Francois Pienaar captain's jersey on his back.
Back.
And I get chills.
Right.
And a civil war is prevented, and a national anthem is sung, and we win the World Cup, and a nation comes together, becomes a rainbow nation. That's how serious it is. No, it's absolute. But it's cultural, though.
But if you think about, you spoke about the blood that runs through our veins, right? So let's go back to when South Africa was founded. The people that founded South Africa. So our history, even though our
Van
dad
Riebeek
was Jewish,
and the boys,
right? They're Dutch.
They are
right?
Dutch. Yeah.
But what happened?
We are Afrikaans. Right. Only 3 million people on this planet
but
speak our language.
But if you and I sat with someone from Holland right now, they would look at us straight in the face and say, "You are not Dutch."
Correct.
Because this is what happened with the Afrikaner. This is why we became Afrikaners. When they settled South Africa, Holland didn't want the settlers. Everybody,
they didn't recognize it.
They didn't recognize it. No. Or the new babies that were born. Well, you're not Dutch because now you're not part of us anymore. Then we weren't British. The British didn't want us because you can't be British. Because if you're British, you have to be under the Queen. But you don't speak English as a first language. You speak this Dutch that is now a hodgepodge of something else.
Yeah.
So who are you? But you're also not the Zulus.
Exactly. Okay? The native tribals. Yeah.
So. And I don't know if this happens to you. I get judged quite often on my aggressive personality and my tenaciousness to pull myself up on my bootstraps and get things done, right? But that is the true heart of the Afrikaner.
Because we've
history,
always, and that's why I say.
We have had to do that.
Look, and then we get sanctioned because of American students, by the way. No one wants to talk about this. The world sanctions on South Africa for apartheid, and apartheid was terrible, but American students protested on campuses, and that's what happened. But then we get isolated. We can't import a can of beans.
Right.
So it's like,
no petrol lines, people riding horses and walking to, teachers are walking, bicycles, you name it.
They cut us off from
no
fuel supply. And then
SASA, what did South Africa do?
Yeah, became completely independent.
We said we're going to pull ourselves up our bootstraps like we have done for years, and we are going to get it done.
But see, but trial produced that, though. And that's why I think America, that's why I think, guys, honestly, I just, persecution produces strong men. And the church is being persecuted, and it should. Yeah. It should. And Christians are not going to like this, but I think we need to go through a season, and we are. COVID, churches are shut down, but that was like a preamble. That was child's play. That's like nothing. We need to produce strong, strong men in this country that will say, we're going to get it done. Now, I'm not saying
leaders
don't have strong men, but it's not a culture.
Right.
It's not a culture. South Africa, it's a culture because we still have the mentality. We were this isolated little group of people. that nobody wanted, mm-hmm. that had a fight like heck, okay, mm-hmm. that conquered.
Incredible. Became a first world country.
Yeah, that then got profiled by the, just like Israel. Mm-hmm. It is parallel to Israel. Okay, Israel had to fight for survival like crazy, scattered around the world. They're still fighting today just to have a nation. They're still fighting today. Just there's only so many million. There's not these hundreds of millions of Jews around the world, by the way, okay? Right. People have this complete misconception, okay? It is this completely surrounded nation. Now you got South Africa. Today, they are doing everything in their power in South Africa to kill our language.
I know.
If it's not for Steve Hofmeyr, Rihanna Nell, the Afrikaans artist that's writing in Afrikaans, they are proactively.
Their song, Ons Self, if you listen to the lyrics of that song.
We'll do it ourselves.
We'll do it. It's exact what we just spoke about. It's the true heart of the South African. And that's why you have the personality you have. That's why I have the personality. That's why we are the way that we are. Yes, did God give us attributes of type A and all of that? Yes, but we are also influenced by our culture with what the true Afrikaner people had to do to rise, to build infrastructure, to have an amazing country.
Always been the minority.
Always been the minority.
And still today is the minority.
Yes.
Still.
There's
no matter
like, how many? Maybe 3 million people that speak Afrikaans? It's the youngest language
world. We only have 3 million people on the planet that speak our language. Right. Now remember, although Dutch sounds similar and the words do cross over.
It's not Dutch.
It's not Dutch.
It's not Dutch. Yeah.
And so, and I think what that does is it produces. Now, again, I'll say this. It can be very contorted and it can be very destructive because South African men, as tough as they are, they're also hard-hearted at times.
It makes you hard. Yeah.
And so now you have a wrestle with Jesus. But if you find a South African guy who's truly surrendered to Jesus,
yes, like an Angus Buchan. Which I have so much respect
but even
for him.
Elon is so, this is why he runs circles around a Jeff Bezos, because these guys are soft. Right. You got to pit Elon Musk against Bill Gates. Are you kidding me?
He's not going to waver where he knows he needs to stand because he's got the history and the foundation
it's in his fiber.
This is right and this is exactly.
It's in his fiber. Right. That's why he doesn't have a problem saying Twitter. What's Twitter? I'm going to go after Twitter. It's not that, you guys are so tough. It's not about tough. It is a cultural predisposition and a training mechanism mentally of saying, again, which can be very unhealthy without God, of no one else will do it. We'll do it ourselves. The number one song in South Africa is, we'll do it ourselves at the moment.
Right.
Like, okay, you want to kill our language?
We just remember. You kill our language? You don't. Yes.
I want to warn Americans. I want to let you know. Here's how this story plays out. Okay, because that little country is ahead of America politically. We're ahead of America in the racial conversation. Okay, so here's how this goes. Because right now we have affirmative action in America. Whether they want to call it affirmative action or not,
it's what it
we
is,
have.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a press secretary in the White House right now that was only hired for her skin color. Okay? Because it's not a lot making sense. Okay? It's not. She's not qualified.
And you and I saw this in South Africa when our mother, got a letter from the education department that said, by the way, you have worked 25 plus years to build this incredible teaching career with four master degrees in four different languages. But we are giving half of your salary in 2 months. Sorry, you are going to get this much money because we're giving half of your salary to redistribute the wealth for affirmative action and giving it to 100%. Other people.
100%.
Same thing happened.
They lost 50.
And that
50
happened year. In 1996. She got that notice.
I know. Well, that was also part of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and a bunch of crazy stuff. But in America today, if you mishandle this thing called freedom, and if you squander it, and if you're flippant about it, well, Yaku, how do you think that is? Like not wanting a border, like not wanting consequence, like not enforcing the law that's on the books, like not prosecuting pedophiles, like not prosecuting crime. You're flippant about, like not understanding we need a very strong military with international assets that's constantly defending us in our sleep. Get known to bring all the troops home. You don't want to bring all the troops home. We had a guy sit in this seat, Brock, that show's coming out soon, SEAL Team, just incredible. He goes, you don't, dude, You don't want to pull all the troops home. How are you going to know what's happening? Who's forming plans against us? Correct. We are squandering freedom in this country, and you'll lose it. You'll lose. We lost our national anthem.
Yeah,
we lost our flag.
We did.
They toppled all the statues. What did they try and do through BLM? Toppled statues, right? Mm-hmm. They changed street names. They rewrote history. Now they're trying to rewrite history in Texas school curriculums. Okay. Right. They're cherry picking history. Now they want to teach that the gay pride movement started with the civil rights movement.
And what did it do in South Africa to do all that? What did it produce?
Destruction and death.
Yeah.
Destruction and death. And now you have a whole generation of black South Africans who are rising up that I'm super proud of, that are saying, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. Our government, the ANC, corrupt as heck, mm-hmm. okay?
Because they do not, even money
lie
that gets
to
given
us.
To the, yes,
they're selling us out to China. Right. They're selling our resources like right. other African nations.
Right.
Something has to change. So
they're
I have hope for South
for
Africa.
Us. Right.
But I'm asking America, do not reach that bottom.
Let's give you
before we turn this thing up.
Let's
and go
give
the other
your
direction.
Listeners perspective real quick of what real life, how that translates to real life and how that would look for them here. So when I was 15 years old, I was asleep one night and I heard our curtain open.
We're all in the house.
We're all in the house. I sat up. We have bars on all of our windows.
We were raised
not
with
only,
bars.
We have bars
Spanish
in our
bars,
windows.
Electric fencing around some houses.
And this wasn't the projects that we lived in.
No, this is in the
bars
suburbs.
Bars in our windows. And we also had a 6-foot gate.
Yep.
Right? Around the house. All right. So I sit up and staring at me through my window is an African man who wants to break into our house. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I call for you. Everybody gets woken up.
No where dad, by the way, in the house.
Yeah.
Single mom.
Where do we find him? He's living in our pool house.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
What did the authorities tell you we could do to get him out of our pool house? Not a thing.
Not a thing.
Why? Because we had an extra pool house outside that he could live in, right?
Now, that you're not using this room. This is the pool shed that holds
towels and
the
floats
towels
and
floaties and things. Okay, it's a little shed. It's not even. It's like, you know.
So mom had no legal
like,
right.
You don't use this, so he can live here.
Right.
Yeah.
Now this is a single yeah. mom.
Hello, California. Are you listening?
Right.
Are you listening yet?
Here's a single mom who has a daughter, 2 sons. Sometimes I had to come home before mom comes home.
Yeah.
Now there's a stranger living in the pool house that she does have has no legal right to ask him to move. So you lose your land immediately. How about driving out of your driveway down the street and you are faced with a shanty town with more than 1.5 million people in front of you
mm-hmm.
who there's not enough food to feed them. There's not enough resources.
Of which 80% is not South Africans.
Correct.
They're
but
Kenyans.
Why do we have that? Because the
and
border
from,
is open.
And from Burkina Faso right. and from the Ivory Coast and from Sudan and from, because there's no border. And by the way, South Africa doesn't just have one
right.
country that borders us. We have numerous countries that border us, right? So when you do not have a border, you don't have a country. Are you listening, Texas?
So mom and dads, I would ask this. How many break-ins would be too much for you to say, I can't live here?
We had 13 home invasions. 13. And I think mom told me 5 of them, we were in the house. One of them, we right. woke up mid-morning. We missed school because they
gassed the
gassed
house.
Gassed the house.
They ate our
had
dinner.
Had a meal in the kitchen.
In the kitchen.
Okay. Took all the furniture out. How, by God's grace only, nobody was raped and nobody was hurt.
They were weapons that we found outside the doors that if we should have woken up, they probably would have killed us. 3 of those times, I was awake hiding under my bed, listening to them carrying stuff out.
Yep. Yep.
How many break-ins would be too much for you here in the U.S.? Do you want a life
that? Are you kidding me? Are you not seeing in Cali right now, California, Beverly Hills, talking about Rodeo Drive, smash and grab, which is like South African culture, smash and grab. I mean, that's like, you know, we now, most of our family have like armor plated. I mean, you've got, I mean, this
yeah.
is.
I got 17.
They freak out over a smash and grab. What if someone came into right. your home?
While your babies were asleep.
And this is not a unique South African family. No. All the South Africans that are watching, comment, please. And let people read, okay? I was with
a girl.
If
you've been through it, write your story.
I was with a girl. Yes, I did a show with Glenn Beck last year, and Dan did produce the show on the farm murders in South Africa, okay? Brutal, okay? I was with a girl yesterday whose dad was brutally murdered. And it's a race crime. It's a race crime. He was brutally murdered 2 years ago. Lindy Ann. And so this is not even unique, unfortunately.
No.
You've been kidnapped. We're not now talking sex trafficking, okay? Which Ilonka is a survivor of, praise Jesus. We're talking about Ilonka and my mom were hijacked and kidnapped in their car. My mom had to kick you out of the car.
Yeah, if it wasn't for her, who just, by the grace of God, moved as fast as she did, we probably would be dead today.
No, but they didn't. They started talking about how they were going to rape. And
they were like, mom, in the midst of, we were at a traffic light. And this is what, this was 3:50 in the afternoon. We had just come back from holiday. We went to go and get food. Mom and I were sitting. I had just got my learner's license. She was letting me drive, you know, and graciously teaching me. I was driving, mom was sitting next to me, and the next minute we know there's two guys
in
the
back
of the car with two AK-47s.
With AK-47s
stuck
in
your
the
head.
Back seat.
Right.
Yeah.
And they wanted mom to drive because the light turned green and wanted mom to drive. And our mother, by the grace of God and with them shouting what they were going to do to us in the back seat, she decided she was going to put the car in drive. She was going to go. She was going to unbuckle me. Undo the door and kick me out of the car. She literally, how she did it, I don't know. She unbuckled me. I rolled into the street. She kicked me into the road, did the same to herself just to get us out of the car away from them. They ended up getting out, jumping in the car and taking the car. I ran to a police officer that I saw and yelled.
Who saw the whole thing?
And he said, what do you want me to do? This happens here every day.
So we're doing this show because, America, I want you to hear. This is where it will go. Right. When you defund the police, when you disarm the police, when you tell the public that the police is inherently evil, when you embolden the criminal to not respect the police, you will have a lawless place.
Right. Listen, we love South Africa.
I love South Africa.
We're just not willing to raise our kids in
But I don't want America to become
South Africa.
Learn from it.
Yes.
At least make South Africa's pain.
How could that's where we came?
Be worth something for this nation. We can't. The decisions that are being made in this country, there's models for why it is absolutely insane. It doesn't work.
I love America. I love everything about this country. I wish,
that's why I'm trying to defend it.
I wish that I could let people see a glimpse into our past so they can understand
why it's so special
here. Why you should love it so much and cherish it. Why you should not fight having laws and boundaries and not have lawlessness and not become another South Africa, because then all of us would have to leave somewhere else. And there isn't another place left on this earth that is as special as the United States of America.
Man, we could go for hours and hours. And I just wanted to give a glimpse here and please follow Ilonka in her story and see where people can find your music. Ilonka, incredible artist.
Thank you.
But what I want to say is this, and I was there, so I'm asking a rhetorical question, but
right.
Just talk about your citizenship ceremony in front of a judge in Nashville. I was there. Just talk about that process. I talk about mine often. It is one of the greatest days of my life.
It was one of the proudest moments I've ever experienced. You know that I've always loved the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But because the United States stands up for their citizens, they have troops like our military who fight for your freedom. And I have personal friends who do this. I have family members who've done this. I have such a respect for this country and what they have sacrificed to be who they are.
Yep.
So, I mean, I cried in my ceremony.
I know, I was
when
there.
When that judge... Mm-hmm. Has everybody rise and you pledge with your life to become American, and you also pledge to disavow any other
nation.
Mm-hmm. And that you will, if there's ever a war, that you would either step up and take arms or be a nurse or step into a servanthood situation. to defend the United States of America. It was the most, it was the proudest moment of my entire life to be in this country. And I will, and I've gotten slack for that because people, South Africans will say, well, you've thrown your country away. And it's, no, I've not thrown my country away, but I have decided that I would like to live in a country that's going to fight for me. And I want to be in a place where my children can be safe. And I want to be in a place where there'll be boundaries and there will be laws, because I've seen what lawlessness looks like.
We didn't just read about it, okay? The 22-year-old, no offense. You want to be offended, be offended, okay? The Gen Z or the millennial today that's 22 that's talking about oppression and talking about, oh, how about, you have no clue. You haven't seen it. You do not understand why this nation, there's no other nation like this nation.
There isn't.
Nobody.
America's a very
special place. Nobody, not the Brits, not the French, nobody, is not the Italians. This is a very, very special place, how it was founded. And for that reason, by God's grace, protect it, defend it. Right. I mean, because otherwise, we can show you. We can show you what it looks like. We can tell you.
And like this Star-Spangled Banner. I'm so proud of our anthem. Mm-hmm. My heart would be broken, as it was in South Africa.
If they change the anthem.
If they just change it. And you're like, this is part of who I am here.
But imagine South Africans. And look, I'm in the UK. Look, I love South Africa. Good gracious. I love that country with all my heart and the people. But God has me on assignment here in my family. But they changed a tribe's anthem. Now, they incorporated it. I know you South Africans. I know, Inkosi Sikelele is in there, and we switched some of it to English, but it wasn't English. We fought the Brits for independence, and you turned it back to English, okay? Insult upon injury, okay? And so, again, the South Africans took it on the chin and said, we'll keep marching.
We'll keep going.
Yeah. We'll keep building unity. You know, we'll keep going. And so all I'm saying is I'm just giving a snapshot for people a little bit. This is not like, oh, you think your story is... No, this is just our story. But may it not become America's story, to where the norm becomes your children having to put high fences around their house.
That no matter how rich or how poor you are, you have to have bars around your house for security.
This is what I'm saying. Snatch and grabs and Rodeo Drive. And all of a sudden, all of Hollywood... snibbity snobs are saying, whoa, you can't, they do. Evil doesn't respect persons, okay? It doesn't respect your zip code. Satan is no respecter of men. You don't open the door to Satan.
But
you cut his head off.
He's not creative, though.
No, this is why I'm saying
they
can learn.
We're giving him way too much power.
They can learn.
God is the powerful one. Satan is always going to be against destroying God's beauty, whatever that is, because he's jealous. He didn't get what he wanted. He's jealous.
Well,
so
outcast.
He destroys the woman by having her raped. God's beauty in that, because he knows he can destroy her, right? And introduce shame, guilt, and condemnation. He does the same thing with men's appearances by demasculating men now. To say, oh, woman is more important than man. So now you have all these women who are marrying men who can't stand up for themselves because society says, oh, you need to be a little bit pansy. You can't stand up for yourself. And then the woman goes, well, hang on a second. I want a guy that can fight for me. I want Tristan. Come on, give me a Tristan. Give me someone that can fight for me. He's going to protect my kids. He's going to stand up for me. I don't want this pansy person. And then, okay, now they're going through a divorce. But society says, no, men need to be kept down. So we're suppressing men. We're elevating women out of balance. Just don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yes, should women make an equal salary? Absolutely, I'm for that. But should men...
Well, they actually do. And there's so much. They actually do. That's a complete... myth. You got to look at time and output. Okay, Jordan Peterson says
and
this.
The situations.
So do we want? Okay, so the women, you want to be equal? You want to be bricklayers? You want to go be bricklayers?
Right.
You want to go be the construction crew that fixes the roads? Do you know that road construction workers today in America, they've now proven that they sacrifice 12 years of their life if they work road construction?
I know it's extremely.
That's how their bodies break down.
Right.
So do we want women to do that job? What kind of a society would we be if we go, you know what, our women are going to go build the roads and the dads are going to nanny? How sick and crazy is that? So it's not about the equity. All things equal. All things are not equal, okay? Women should not be road construction workers because I honor them too much. They should not be the ones hanging from skyscrapers, putting their lives on the line. It's insane. It's
sick. It
comes
back to God's design. I'm not saying dads can't be caregivers, because I know many dads who are caregivers.
Of course.
Right.
But balance, though.
But God gave different gifts to men and women, and there's a place for it all. And you know what? That plan is okay.
That's fantastic.
His plan is better than what we could ever come up with. And if we would follow his plan.
And this is a girl that was raised without a dad, can I tell you, okay? And this is a guy that was my sister, raised without a dad. Let me tell you something. I want to do a shout out to the men in this country, the men that build the homes, that hammer, that frame the houses that you live in, the men that do the mason work, that breathe in as, you know, toxic chemicals, the men that built the roads that you can drive on, the men that, you know, put on a uniform, women too. But I mean, the jobs that only men do, not because women can't do them. I'm not saying a woman cannot build a road.
Right.
I don't want her to.
But throughout history, the majority of it has been done
by men.
But
I don't
men,
want women.
Right.
I don't want to see women driving backhoes and digging ditches for roads. I'll be worried about, well, who's educating the children? I'd be worrying about, you know, who's keeping the home intact. I don't want to see women doing those jobs. But for one second, can we just recognize the men and saying, dang it, guys, listen, we're kind of beating the guys up that are building the fabric of the society.
Yeah.
Not that they're better, but can we just...
That's what I'm saying to you.
Hold on for a minute.
Stop doing that. We can do that.
Listen, we can go for hours. We're going to have Ilonka back. Follow Ilonka's story. Where can people find you?
This was so much fun. IlonkaDeaton.com.
IlonkaDeaton.com. Her music is incredible. I did not ask her to sing right now, but just listen to me. The very gift God gave her, Satan wanted to steal, because it's also the industry that ended up pulling Ilonka into trafficking, and God gave it back to her, and he's writing music through you. I'm excited for what's coming.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's
God
awesome.
Bless you.
Thank you,
sis. I love you.
Love you, too. Thank you for having me. God bless
you. Talk to you guys next time.
I don't know what you're going to call that show, but...
I'm going to call it... That one was in the hot box. Good gracious.
Yep.
I got to get to my kids.